If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. As we continue to work our way through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either we hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." As we come to this section, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Lord, once again, we come to the rather familiar verses. But Lord, I pray that we don't just turn them off because we've heard it before. But Lord, open our hearts, open our ears to hear your Spirit. And Lord, may they help us to grow in our walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and played on her pride. He said, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." In those first seven verses of chapter 3, Satan had manipulated Eve so that she twisted God's words. In her selfishness and pride, and dragging Adam along with her, she listened to the devil and sinned. This is one of the devil's favorite attacks, to get people in their political correctness, in their wokeness, in their sinfulness and pride to twist and corrupt God's words. Throughout time, pride has been one of Satan's major points of attack. John summarized it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." The religious leaders of Jesus' day were guilty of allowing their pride to contaminate their worship and their service to God Almighty. So Jesus used the Sermon on the Mount to get things back on track, or to kind of hit the restart button, so to speak. As we've already seen, he taught that righteousness starts in a person's heart, and that this righteousness of heart must lead to acts of righteousness and not the other way around. That's what James meant when he wrote in James 2, verse 26, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." But even then, it's so easy to become a hypocrite, doing pious or righteous things for the wrong reason, which is usually to get man's approval. So as we saw last week, Jesus taught his disciples that regardless of whether one's giving to the needy or praying or even fasting, the motive must be to glorify God. Another area of incorrect teaching and pride were regarding things. The Pharisees taught that their material prosperity, their things, were evidence of their spirituality. That is, they were blessed because they were spiritually superior to everyone else. Like the Pharisees, truthfully, people are strongly inclined to be wrapped up in seeking, acquiring, and enjoying and protecting their possessions. The problem is that if one isn't careful, those things will replace God. And then, like the Pharisees, one finds himself serving the creation instead of the Creator. As Romans 1:25 says, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator." In today's scripture, Jesus warned of three areas in which Christians are most vulnerable. The first area of vulnerability is the heart. The heart. In Genesis, in verse 21, Jesus summed it up this way, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The picture Jesus painted was of a person
who stockpiled or hoarded wealth for himself, treasures on earth, without any thought of using it for any purpose. He even gave a parable about this. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16. And Jesus told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. It's like Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, who accumulated and hoarded huge amounts of money for no purpose at all, except to get more. And actually, one's treasures includes his time and his talents, as well as his wealth. Jesus wasn't saying having wealth or talents is wrong. There's only one time that Jesus told a person to go sell your possessions and give to the poor. That was to the rich young man in Matthew chapter 19. This young man had made his wealth his idol. And if he was going to follow Jesus, he needed to get rid of his false god first. In other scriptures, God expects, he even commands, that his children be generous, but also that his children enjoy the blessings that he gives them. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 17. Paul wrote, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life." The wealthy weren't told to get rid of their wealth, but they are warned not to be conceited or to trust in their wealth. They must be willing and able to share their wealth, their blessings, their talents with others. People like Abraham and Job and David from the Old Testament, Barnabas, Lydia, Dorcas from the New were rich, but they were commended because they shared their blessings with others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, Paul wrote that parents should save up for their children. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat." 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Christians are to work so they can share with others, beginning with their own families. It's right to provide for our families, to make reasonable plans for the future, to make wise investments, and to have money to carry on a business. And as we do here at Tabernacle, it's also important to support the Lord's work here and around the world, and to give to the poor. It is being dishonest, greedy, covetous, and miserly about possessions and talents that's wrong. To honestly earn, save, and give is wise and good. To hoard and spend only on oneself not only is unwise, but is sinful. The key to Jesus' warning is the word yourselves. When a person collects stuff simply for himself, these things become his idols, his gods, his priorities. Jesus said that possessions and talents used for God's purpose can be a way of accumulating treasure in heaven. But treasures which are stored or used only for personal purposes here on earth are subject to loss. Jesus said, loss through moths, rust, and thieves. In ancient times, a man's wealth often consisted of fine, elaborate clothes and expensive jewelry. The best garments were made of wool, which moths loved to eat. And even the richest people had a difficult time protecting their clothes, but that didn't slow them down. Things really haven't changed. There are people today who are willing to spend thousands of dollars for a purse or a dress or a shirt. In one of the seemingly hundreds of catalogs I get before Christmas, I found a simple leather coat for almost $10,000. Regardless of their value, clothes have a short lifespan. Before long, they're old, worn, and discarded, and they have absolutely no eternal value. Jesus said to avoid hoarding things that rust destroys. Things that can be eaten away, like corn or grain, that can be eaten by rats and mice and insects. But there's also cars, even money stored in stocks and bonds that can lose value through the fluctuation of the markets. There's nothing permanent about this kind of treasure or wealth. Look at the roller coaster ride stocks and bonds have been on for the last several years. Well, for that matter, what happens to the value of a new car when it's driven off the lot, even before rust sets in? Even through lack of use, talents can be lost. And finally, Jesus warned that almost any kind of wealth is subject to thieves. Our day is no different than Christ's day. Nothing's completely safe from destruction or theft, especially the computer hackers all around. But even if we manage to keep our things permanently safe during our lives, we'll be separated from them at death. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:2, verse 18, I hated all the things I toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. Collecting things just for our own personal enjoyment is just wasted energy and wasted time. As a really old saying goes, you can't take it with you. But when our time and our talents and possessions are used to serve others and to support God's work, when all we have is used for the glory of God, then we will be building up heavenly resources which are safe from any destruction or any theft. As 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we need to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Sadly, I think there are going to be many earthly millionaires who are going to become heavenly paupers. But on the other hand, there are going to be many earthly paupers who will be heavenly millionaires. Jesus emphasized that a person's most cherished possessions and his deepest motives and desires are inseparable. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is why Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It's impossible to have one's treasures on earth and his heart in heaven. Christians need to guard their hearts. We need to love God and show his love to others by using the treasures God has given us as we bring glory to God. But treasures don't only enslave the heart, they also enslave the mind. Jesus said that the eyes are the windows to the mind. Regardless of what they see, eyes linger on, they dwell on one, what one loves. It's this love that directs the mind. Eyes that are good function properly. Spiritually good eyes look to Jesus. These eyes allow one's mind to be flooded with spiritual light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. With this light, one is able to see and walk in the path that leads to righteousness and the commendation of well done, thou good and faithful servant. Where there's spiritual understanding, the body both physically and spiritually will work properly, the way God would have it to function. And God will be glorified. On the other hand, spiritual eyes that are bad are blinded by materialism, by greed and pride, by selfishness. With these eyes, it's impossible to recognize or even see the true light. Such a person is enslaved by his treasures. He is in love with what he believes is his highest good. But he's spiritually blind, unable to walk in the way God would have him to walk. This way leads away from God and instead leads to destruction. So what do we see? Pride is one of Satan's points of attack. Don't forget, righteousness begins in the heart. And the motive for acts of righteousness must be to glorify God. Areas of vulnerability. The first one is the heart. And don't forget, treasures include time and talents as well as wealth. Christians are to be generous with their treasures, with their wealth. But Christians are also to enjoy the blessings that God gives them. And it's impossible to have one's treasures on earth and to have his heart in heaven. The second area of vulnerability is the mind. And as Jesus said, eyes are the windows to the mind. Eyes dwell on what one loves. Spiritually good eyes look to Jesus. Spiritually bad eyes look to other things. And finally, the third vulnerability is the will. The will. Just as one can't have our treasures both on earth and in heaven, or our minds both in light and in darkness, we cannot serve two masters. Either Jesus Christ is Lord and Master, or a person's treasures, his money, her talents, himself is the Lord. That's the matter of the will. Each person must decide. You cannot claim Christ as Lord if your allegiance is to anything or anyone else, including yourself. Turn back again to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, but this time verse 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul wrote again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, begin verse 9. People who want to get rich fall in temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, loving money, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. If God gives one riches and they are used for God's glory, these riches are a blessing. But a person wills or lusts to get rich and live with that as his main goal in life, 1 Timothy says he will pay a great price for those riches, including many griefs and sorrows. When we know God's will but resist obeying it, we are really showing that our loyalty, our will, is to something or someone other than God. It's with his will that a person chooses his master and his Lord. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Solomon wrote, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." The things you have, your treasures, your wealth, your talents, really have no value at all. What gives them value is what you do with them. If you choose to use them to bring glory and honor to God, they will earn great dividends that are guaranteed and permanent, dividends that are eternal. They'll not cloud your mind. You'll be able to walk as God would have you to walk. You'll be serving and bringing glory to the one and only true God, the Lord of creation, the God of love. If you don't use your treasures, your money, your talents, your time, to honor God, you'll never accumulate any dividends of any lasting value. They'll disappear like smoke in a breeze. Your mind will be darkened. You'll not be able to walk in God's path for you. Instead of a loving God, You'll be serving a harsh master who's never satisfied and always wants more. Like Scrooge, you need to get your eyes off of things which have no lasting value and pursue that which does. So this is the bottom line. The way you look at and use your treasures, your possessions as well as your talents, is a barometer, an indicator of your spiritual condition. What does your barometer say about your life? Where is your heart, your mind, your will? It's your choice. What will it be? In Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua challenged the Israelites. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's your choice. Choose wisely. Let's pray. Lord, Satan stood before Eve and Adam and enticed them with their pride. You can be like God. Do whatever you want. Things haven't changed. Satan still stands before us today. He doesn't just have a fruit like an apple in front of us. He has all kinds of things that we see, again, on the computer, we see on the internet, things that tempt us to look at ourselves, to look at things rather than you. Lord, I pray to help each one of us to choose wisely, to choose to use the things that you've given us to serve you, to bring praise to you, to bring honor and glory to your name, and to draw others to know you. Lord, help us each to walk as you would have us to walk, and to be the men and women who put you first in our lives.